Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, Kevin Acey. I am at Petco Park. Jay Posner, you're just up the road there in San Diego. I'm back for 3 days. How about that? Padres, Brewers. But before we get to this three-game series, which, you know, there's a lot to talk about in there, we should recap. You never know what you're going to see at a ballpark, and especially Coors Field, but you absolutely have no idea that anything like what happened this weekend is coming. But I quickly want to play it forward when we do that, Jay, because it left the Padres pitching staff in tatters, and they've taken some moves today to address that.
That is correct, and I know that you already have one story online about that. But we have to talk at least a little bit about what happened at Coors Field, because I don't think anybody has ever seen anything like that, even by Coors Field standards,
yeah,
which are ridiculous enough. That was whatever is beyond ridiculous. And I mean, let's be honest, the Padres are lucky they didn't get swept.
Very.
I mean, you have two
miracles.
Right, absolutely. Give them all the credit in the world. 11-5 in the ninth inning, and they win. Yesterday, Margavich just gives up, what, 9 runs in an inning and a third, and somehow they win both of those games. So you have to give them a lot of credit. You know, they did not roll over. They didn't do any of the kind of stuff that sometimes you see teams do. And, you know, as they love to say, they battled. And they battled to the point where they, you know, they forced Colorado into making errors, and they came up with some huge hits in both of those games. And Matt Strom, what an at bat he had. He could teach some of these guys about working the count.
Well, let me tell you something. Here's why. Okay, look, all credit to him, okay? Especially he lays off the 3-2 pitch. But here's his explanation. He even pulled me aside afterward to just reiterate. I couldn't hit John Gray. He's coming in out of the bullpen, throwing 98, touching 99. There was no chance he was swinging.
Well, it was funny because when it got to 2-0, I said, well, he can't be swinging here on 2-0. You got to make him throw a strike. So it's 2-1. Then it goes to 3-1, and you're thinking, well, he's got to be taken again on 3-1. And then it got to 3-2, and I didn't know what his plan was at that point. But he's lucky that they threw him a ball. But either way, I mean, the Padres would have still gone into at least the bottom of the ninth. In a tie game in that situation.
But, after being down 13-10, and, you know,
right.
That's...
And it's, it's such a different... I mean, this team is so much different when Fernando Tatis Jr. is able to play. I mean, he missed... He was supposed to sit out Saturday. He got called in because of the absurd, you know, the absurdity of Major League umpires. He makes a spectacular catch in that game. You know, maybe
he goes two for two.
Right, got a couple hits, made a catch that might have been the second or third best defensive play we've seen all year. I still think Machado's throw from the left field stands was probably better, but it was right up there with that. He made another amazing defensive play yesterday on a ball that was just scorched. You know, he scores runs with his feet, with his bat. It's just such a blast to have a player like that on the team that you watch all the time right now. And you know, I tweeted he's worth the price of admission by himself, and I think that's true. I mean, if you're going to go to a baseball game because you want to see, you know, the best players in the world, you know, who would you rather see right now than Fernando Tatis, except maybe if you had Christian Yelich on your team, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But it was he makes a difference. Hunter Renfroe, you know, makes an obvious difference. Right after you wrote that the Padres were considering trading him, he started blasting balls from, you know, from here to the moon. And he's up to, what, 23 home runs now, I think?
23 home runs, second most in the majors.
Behind Christian Yelich, right.
Again. I wanted to say one more thing about this series, but we keep teasing toward what is coming, the reigning NL MVP, and, you know, one of those teams that's you know, churning up the NL Central, going to make that interesting, far more interesting than the NL West. The Tatis thing, and it's just amazing. Like the play yesterday where, was it Lambert still? Yeah, looks him back to third base. He is satisfied, because you can't really think he's going to go home, even though it's in your mind that it's Fernando Tatis Jr. and you've seen, you got the scouting report, but really, is he going to go home? And he does, and his slides are so magnificent.
Right.
And it's everything about him. And then I thought, go back and watch this, folks, if you haven't. The after slide. Did you see it? Have you paid enough attention to this? Like, he's so athletic. Like, everything he does is beautiful to watch. But I got to thinking, like, at some point, is who was it that hit that? Hosmer? Is Hosmer going to be safe at first because the pitcher refuses? Won't throw? Like, I mean, that once it gets out there that this kid is going to do this, what are teams going to do? Because his instincts are just so good. It's not just like, oh, well, the scouting report's going to catch up on speed. You know, as they say, speed doesn't slump and instincts don't slump. I mean, he's really, it's special.
And it's like you're trying not to get too carried away. I mean, he's played 37 games in the majors. I mean,
right.
that's a fourth.
But it's those
it's
plays.
Not even one, right. It's not even one fourth of a season that he's played, but it's so hard not to get carried away and to think that this is special. And even from a numbers, you know, standpoint, he leads the Padres in WAR. He has a 2.4 WAR, and he's only played in 37 games. So, I mean, it's not just because the other Padres haven't done anything. I mean, Hunter Renfroe has 23 home runs, and, you know, and Kirby Yates has been phenomenal and all that. But let's go. Those were some of the positives. We wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't talk about the negatives of the weekend and basically all of June. I mean, the ERA now is over 7 for the month of June. The Padres are 5-10 in June. They're probably, you know, probably lucky not to be, I don't know, 3-12, 2-13. You know, the way that they've pitched, they've given up 26 home runs in those 15 games. And look, only 4 of them were played at Coors Field. What is going on with this pitching staff? Is there anyone out there that can be counted on other than, you know, I guess, I mean, I shouldn't say anyone. I mean, guys like Wingenter and Stammen, for the most part, have been pretty good. Kirby Yates has been great.
Luis Perdomo.
Right, and Luis Perdomo. Joey Lucchese.
And I want to say this. Matt Whistler's been pretty good, and mm-hmm. he gave up some runs in Coors Field that were on really good pitches against really good players. I mean, that offense obviously benefits from a place where, 14 runs a game are scored. But there's some really good hitters, Charlie Blackmon, Nolan Arenado. And so I'm going to put Matt Whistler in there, but you're 100% right, and they have known it. You want to say that we're like, we need to focus on the negatives as part of our job. If we're going to call them negatives, whatever, reality. That's exactly what the Padres personnel department is focusing on and has been for a while. They went in, and I was talking to them on Thursday. Look, it's going to be a rough one for our bullpen, probably, no matter what. They didn't know it was going to be this rough. When it got this rough, then they had no choice. But I love Logan Allen. We thought that he was the Padres love him. They thought he was going to be up out of spring training. But this is by default that Logan Allen, their fifth-ranked pitching prospect, is going to start on Tuesday night because they can't risk. Even if Joey Lucchese pitched a perfect game tonight, right? their bullpen, and they have enough coverage for tonight. If Joey went 5, Whistler's available, Maton's available, Stammen and Yates are available, Wingenter's available, but they can't go then go into Tuesday saying, you know what, we're gonna use our bullpen to get through that game. They're just not. But I will say, guess what else, Jay? I don't know if you caught this. I tweeted this just before we started taping this early Tuesday afternoon or Monday afternoon. Yep, did it again. Kazuhisa Makita also up.
Oh, okay. No, I did not.
So that is right next to the dictionary under. All hands on deck. You know, the Titanic is sinking.
Well,
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but come on.
No, I mean, they've given up as many runs in June as they gave up in all of April. So that's exactly the same number in 15 games in June that they gave up in 26 games in April. So
good stat.
That's not even the best stat I have for you today. You'll love the later one.
I need a cigarette after this podcast. That's great.
But it's one of those things where we knew that they were going to struggle pitching at times this year. But this is probably lower than we thought that it
would
come.
Did you see the stat? Did you see the stat that I had, Jay? That the 4.62 ERA that mm-hmm. the staff has right now is the lowest it has been since 2009, except for 2016. Now, why did I say it like that?
The highest. 2016 the highest was it's been.
The highest it's
right.
been. It's uh-huh. The worst it's been.
Worst.
That is. in 2016, they had that several days, and it was actually higher. But the reason I broke it out like that is 2016 was, like, you know, that was the year of – that was Andy Green's first year. That was a terrible staff. That was just basically, like, throw it all away, burn it. And, you know, so – but this is – this pitching staff is something that even in all the awful years that you can count on. But right now it's as high as it's been with rare exception in over a decade.
Right, right. And I guess, I mean, you can look at it two ways and – you know, certainly that it's all falling apart and it's never going to get better. Or you can try to look at it in the sense that, you know, look, Lucchesi's been pretty good. I mean, his ERA is just over four.
And his last five starts, pretty good.
Right, and been getting better. Matt Strom, you would think, would you know, now that he's getting healthy, you would hope that he would get back to what some of what we saw earlier. Chris Paddock's getting a little rest in the minors and working on his changeup. So when he comes back, you know, you can hope that he's back to a little bit closer to what he was earlier in the year than his last few starts. So that would be at least three spots in the rotation. You know, Cal Quantrill's been okay. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we're going to see from Logan Allen. You know, Eric Lauer is hit and miss. I mean, obviously he's not good at Coors Field, but a lot of guys aren't. So I don't think it's completely hopeless. It's just kind of been shocking to see in these last,
how bad?
You know, and a half, 3 weeks as to how bad that it's gotten. And I don't know that it's, you know, and it's not one thing they have going for them this week. It's, you know, it's June gloom. It's cool as far as playing at Petco these next two nights and an afternoon game. But, you know, this Brewers team has some guys who can really mash. And so it's.
I want you to talk about the Brewers, but I first want to say also Dinelson Lamet, provided he doesn't have some sort of setback, which he's in a completely different place than Jose Castillo, who pulled himself from Saturday night start. The lefty reliever, who they were expecting to be back probably today, then you wouldn't have seen Kazuhisa Makita, but with the flexor, the forearm strain, well, unfortunately, he felt discomfort in his forearm and has been shut down. So as long as, you know, I want to say this. Dinelson Lamet is expected here by the end of the month to fill 4 or 5 innings per start going forward, provided his rehab continues to go well.
Right, and that, you know what, 4 or 5 innings is not that much different than you're going to get out of some of these guys anyway. So if you can do that and you can try to get, you know, 6 or even 7 out of Lucchesi and Strom and Paddock and even Lauer at times, then you can live with that. I mean, that's all I'm sure. I know they were hoping Mark Gavichus would go deep into the game yesterday. I don't think anybody could really have expected that. But I'm sure if they could have gotten 4 innings out of Mark Gavichus yesterday, that they would have been thrilled with that. And I think it was one of those things, even after the first inning, where you could tell, all right, he probably shouldn't still be in the game, but the way their bullpen is and the state of it, you got to try to see if you can buy another couple innings out of them.
Yes.
But after those hits, I mean, it got. I remember as just before Andy walked out of the dugout, Mark Grant said on TV, "You got to get him out of here at this point, don't you?" I mean, it was just you kind of felt bad for him at that point. I mean, he was he just wasn't capable of getting people out. I mean, the one out he got in the second inning was self-defense. With the line drive that was hit back at him.
Oh my gosh, yes. I will tell you this, a little insider, I'm almost reluctant to say this for those who ridiculously say that don't ask the tough questions. I would love to see many people walk into this clubhouse and ask the questions that I ask or after I write some of the things I write, but I am a human, and I was grateful. To some extent, the kid's 23 years old. He's a nice kid. I was grateful to some extent that the game went far beyond where we needed to talk to Nick Margavichus yesterday. It wasn't going to be fun. It was going to feel like torture.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true. At least something far more things happened to take everyone's mind off that. And I would assume he would.
And I think it's pretty obvious that he's going to be, you know, a casualty of today's move. So
right. So anyway, we go on to the Brewers now, here for two nights, team that almost went to the World Series last year.
Two nights in an afternoon.
Right, two nights in an afternoon. Had a struggle earlier in the year, they're 40-31. Weird that their run differential is only plus 12. We should note the Padres are minus 38, which basically means that it's going to be hard to sustain this. The record, even at two games under 500, will be hard to sustained. But the Brewers had a, it's funny, their run differential took a big hit after playing the Marlins. They were minus 21 in two games, in the first two games of that series against the Marlins. So that hurt, but they have been better lately. They had won 22 out of 35 before going to San Francisco of all places and losing two out of three, over the weekend. But
red hot Giants,
the red hot Giants. They, the Brewers will throw a familiar face tonight. Yolish Chacin is expected to come off the injured list tonight. Has not started a game since May 31st. Has always pitched great at Petco, not just against the Padres, but when he was here. I was looking. He has a 2.28 career ERA in 19 starts at Petco. So we'll see what kind of condition he's in. And then the Padres face the Brewers' best two starters the next couple days, Brandon Woodruff on Tuesday night. And one thing to note about Brandon Woodruff, 10 for 31 at the plate this year, in addition to pitching well. And Zach Davies, who's been tremendous for the Brewers this year. Both those guys are only 26 years old, so that's good for the Brewers. I do want to talk about the one pitcher that I hope to see in these next couple nights when I'm at Petco, because Josh Hader is so much fun to watch. And here's the stat, Kevin. Josh Hader, so far this year, lefties are 4 for 35 against him, hitting 114. Righties are 9 for 82 against him, hitting 110. So that's a 111 average. But that's 13 hits that Josh Hader's given up this year. 6 home runs.
Wow.
3 doubles and a triple. He has given up 3 singles the entire season. He has faced almost 120 at-bats. He's allowed 3 singles. Left-handed batters against him, 35 at-bats, no singles. 2 home runs, a double, and a triple. I just found that I know some people don't get as worked up about stats as you and I do, but I just think the idea that it's June 17th today, the anniversary of something very famous that happened, several things in this country that happened 25 years ago, but 3 singles this guy's given up in out of 13 and 10 extra base hits in basically 2.5 months. So and he has 69 strikeouts in 35 innings. So he's someone that you kind of want to see, and yet if you're a Padre fan rooting hard for your team, maybe you don't want to see him in the same way that other teams don't want to see Kirby Yates right now.
Are you still, JJ, are you still upset that your NBA Finals got interrupted by a car chase 25 years ago?
No,
did I get it right?
I am not at all. But that was also, ESPN did a great documentary on that day. It was also the day Arnold Palmer played his final U.S. Open.
I did not know that.
In Pennsylvania near his home. So it was crazy. It was a crazy day. So anyway, we'll go on. The Christian Yelich, who has just been phenomenal, leads the majors in slugging, majors in OPS. We talked about a 2.4 WAR for Fernando Tatis. Yelich is at 4.2. Only Cody Bellinger has a higher WAR in the National League. 26 homers, 57 RBIs, and we're in the middle of June for Christian Yelich. And two other guys who you keep an eye on with OPS numbers over 900. Former Padre Yasmani Grandal has 15 home runs, and Mike Moustakas, who I think was mentioned at a time as possibly signing here, 21 home runs. Was that ever really a possibility?
It was a fallback. It was a fallback for sure. Absolutely. And sometimes those happen. But that would have that you know what's funny? We would have thought, hey, cool, and he'd be hitting 15 home runs. You would think that's pretty cool. But not now.
Yeah.
Of course, he has more homers than Manny, but that's not what we're talking about.
No, no, so, that's true.
And, but that is a lineup right there. I mean, that's a lineup for Logan Allen to come in and face. You know, not to mention Joey Lucchesi and what I believe, though, much like Andy Green does, I now get mixed up. Like, who? I think it's Eric Lauer. no, it can't be Lauer. It's Strom.
No, yeah, Lucchesi, Allen, and Strom for the for the three, and then heading out east to Pittsburgh
And then Baltimore.
And then Baltimore. I wonder if there'll be anything to write about in Baltimore.
I just can't wait to hear Manny talk about it. That's all. So three against the Brewers. Jay, I'll give you one last chance to talk about the Brew Crew, and then I'm going to start getting ready for this sucker.
No, I think we've talked enough about the Brew Crew. We've talked enough about the Padres and what we saw over the weekend, and you certainly wrote a lot about it, and looking forward to tomorrow night, and I mean, you know, any night, but especially tomorrow night, and seeing what Logan Allen has to offer.
31st start by a rookie. They have their first starts, you know, more often than not. This will be the fifth guy to make his debut as a starter. We've seen some real nice ones. We have. And you know, Cal Quantrill is the only guy who went five innings at Coors Field this weekend.
They've gotten
pretty good. They really have. They out of rookie starters, you would say if there's been issues, you know, them at times, but not just them. I really don't think they could have expected much more out of what they've got out of their rookie starters. And that's, I think, six or seven more rookie starts than any other team. You know, you don't know. You know, I remember when you would expect, oh, gosh, a guy's coming up to make a debut. This is going to be ugly.
Right.
You know
what?
Logan Allen's pretty darn good at parts of spring training. He's been very good in the minors. He went 1.9 starts in AAA this season with a 1.9. It was either 1.91 or 1.90 ERA in the Pacific Coast
That's
League.
That's crazy.
I look forward to seeing, you know, he knows it was sort of by default, and he's a very prideful guy, and I look forward to seeing what Logan Allen does.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Sometimes you don't plan your you don't plan when you get your break and everything, and all you can do is try to take advantage of it. And if he can, then you know, and it might not even be that he makes his next start here. I mean, they've got all these off days coming up, and if they're going to bring Paddock back, they might not even need him for another week and a half or so. But again, if he pitches well in a start like this, then who knows where he might make his next start or when his next opportunity would come here. So that's something to look forward to. And then we will talk to you again from Pittsburgh on Friday.
Indeed. Thank you, everybody.